Take your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let me say, good to see Bob and Tammy Burak are back with us this morning. Amen. We've been praying for them. Good to have them back home here with us. And sure do love them. If you see them, just love on them. That's what they need right now. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Joe, it's the first book of the Bible. Okay, page 11 in mine. Figured I'd help you, all right? Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 together. And let's read this passage responsively. And Adam knew his Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And let's finish on verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit of God, would you take this truth this morning and would you revolutionize our lives? Pray that you'd help us in a special way. Lord, help us to receive the truth as you want it. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in each and every person and in their life the way you have for them today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Listen to me very carefully this morning. We are living in a day of little to no respect. We live in a day of protest, burning flags, not accepting the vote of the people, burning the president-elect in effigy. Folks, I'm going to make a statement. Anybody that is 40 years old or older will understand this very well. The pot-headed punks and rebels of the 1960s have turned this generation into the same generation they came from.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Anybody that's lived long enough to remember the protest of the 60s, that's what we're living again today.
Yes, sir.
Say, well, why are they doing that? Because who's teaching them in their schools?
Uh-huh.
Why else would they want marijuana legalized in America? Folks, that is the dumbest thing.
Yes, sir.
That is the most ignorant thing that, other than alcohol, that we've legalized to make more money off of. Do you realize how much damage is done by alcohol? Think of all the drunk driving. Think of all of the divorce. Think of all of the damage done by drinking. And yet, America has legalized it. Then she makes money off of people who break that law. Well, alcoholism is a sickness. Well, it's the only sickness you drink. Please don't take this the wrong way, but you don't drink cancer. You don't drink the flu.
That's right.
You know, this is going to be gross. Hold your ears. But if somebody threw up in a cup, are you going to drink it just so you can get the flu? You say, that's gross, preacher. Well, so is drinking alcohol.
Amen.
It's no different. It's not a sickness. It's sin.
That's right.
Now, we have women who have little to no respect for men and men who have little to no respect for women. It goes both ways.
Yes.
Look at Nancy Pelosi. Yeah. That'll make you sick, won't it? All right. That's what causes you to throw up. I mean, anyway. We have children with no respect for adults and no respect for authority. We have people protesting and killing police officers. I never heard of such thing. I hate to disagree with somebody here, but hang on. It is not a racial thing that you teach your children how to respond to a police officer.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Before I started driving, my dad taught me, if you ever get pulled over, matter of fact, he didn't say if, he said when you get pulled over, he said there's a certain way you're to conduct yourself. Do you know, I've been driving for 34 years now. You know, I've been pulled over several times for different, when I was a teenager, a couple times for speeding. I haven't got a speeding ticket in 27 years. Got the last one on the way to my wedding. All right? But, you get pulled over from time to time. I got pulled over on I-65 going hunting with a fellow assistant pastor in the church. I was doing the speed limit, and a state trooper pulled me over to slow traffic down. He said, I'm just going to give you a written warning. You weren't speeding. He said, but I need to slow traffic down because it's starting to rain. But I'm the only man in the world can get pulled over for doing the speed limit. But he served his purpose, and there's nothing on my record. But I learned a long time ago, my dad taught me, there's two words you say to an officer when he comes to your door. Yes, sir. That's it. He said, Craig, you do whatever he tells you to do. Otherwise, you might not come home. He said, if you disagree with him, that's what the court's for. He said, don't you argue with him.
Yes,
that particular time, I had a hunting knife strapped to my waist. I'm in my coveralls. I got my bow in the trunk. My buddy had his bow in the trunk. And I got my hands on the steering wheel. He said, I need you to step out of your car and come to mine. I said, hold it. I had my hands on the steering wheel. I said, sir, I have a hunting knife on my hip. I said, I'm not moving my hand, so you tell me what to do. He said, what hip? I said, my right one. He said, well, let me see your license. I said, sir, I can't get to it unless I go inside these coveralls. I said, my license on left side, but the knife's on the right side. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, anybody willing to tell me that? He said, just step out. He said, reach back there. He said, don't reach to the other side. I said, don't worry. No problem at all. We had a good conversation. Do you know, I didn't think he was targeting me. I was trying to protect him and me. Sure enough, I reach in there and he sees that knife. I'll promise you one thing, I'd have been in handcuffs. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter any of that. It's a matter of appropriateness and respect for authority.
Yes,
I didn't particularly like the guy that pulled me over when I was going to my wedding to get a ticket. Matter of fact, after I went to court, the judge fired him. I'm not kidding. Guy had a bad attitude. And I mean real bad. But I still took the ticket and I still paid the ticket. I didn't give him a bad attitude back. There ought to be respect. The gangs, the drug runners, and the dope heads do whatever they want, and even kill or hurt innocent people for what they want. And, may I say this, drunk drivers have no respect for anybody.
That's right. Yes, sir.
None. For somebody to get behind the wheel of the car after having sucked alcohol down their throat, it's easy for you to say, but to get behind the wheel of the car, they have no respect for themselves, they have no respect for the other drivers, they have no respect for anybody's life. None. Now, here in Genesis chapter 4, we have a very interesting passage. We have the story of two of Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. And they're mentioned. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. I already know that these were not the only two children of Adam and Eve. There weren't just four people on the face of the earth when this took place. Say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Because if you went all the way down to verse 17, you find out that Cain took his wife with him. Well, if he had a wife, there were more people on the earth than that. You realize there was almost 130 years from creation to Genesis chapter 4? Adam and Eve had a lot of kids. They weren't the only ones. They were their oldest ones. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Now hang in there. But if you went to, by the way, you say, well, how do you know that? Go to Genesis 5:3. You'll find out that Seth was born after Cain had committed the crime of murder, and Adam was, and Eve were 130 years old. Okay? Now, they were still having chitlins at 130. God bless them. Still hope for you, Wally. You got another 60 years to go. I'm done. Three strikes, you're out. Amen? Now, God, though, let me explain the story to you, and then this will begin to make a little bit more sense. God required a blood sacrifice yearly by the people to show their salvation. Now watch this. It did not get them saved. This sacrifice was very similar to what we do. It's called the Lord's Supper. Now, the Lord's Supper is supposed to be done with unleavened bread and non-fermented juice. Yeah. Unleavened because leaven is sin. And there was no sin in the body of Jesus. Not fermented juice because fermentation is to juice what leaven is to bread. It's death. It's corruption. And there was no corruption in the blood of Jesus. That bread represents the body. That juice represents the blood of Christ. And that's what it was, the broken body and the shed blood that got us saved. Since Jesus came, the sacrifices ceased, and we went to what we call the Lord's Supper. In the Old Testament, they did sacrifices because Jesus had not yet come, and it showed what he would do. In the New Testament, by the way, that's why the night before Jesus was crucified, he instituted the Lord's Supper. Say why? Because he was fulfilling the sacrifices, and now he wanted us to do it this way. That's the only difference. Now, I say that to say this. That blood was to be the yearly sacrifice. It was not supposed to be bring whatever you want as a sacrifice. God had very specific things laid out that he wanted us to do. Years ago, there was a heretic from California named John MacArthur, a so-called preacher. He said, you can take the Lord's Supper doing potato chips and pop. And it's not the blood of Jesus is important, it's the death of Jesus. The blood of Jesus just trickled to the foot of the cross and went into the earth. It's not the blood, it's the death. Well, Mr. MacArthur, you're a liar, and that's out of the pit of hell. Yes. Because it takes the blood of Jesus, the life is in the blood, and he put his blood on the mercy seat as our high priest, and it was his blood because he was the Lamb. It's not the death of Jesus, it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses our sins. It's not what can wash away my sin, nothing but the death of Jesus. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. God required a blood sacrifice. Now, Abel obeyed. Abel was, he was a herder. He was in charge of the sheep and the different animals. Cain was a crop farmer. He grew the crops. And neither was a bad profession, but here's what you have to realize. Cain was going to have to take some of what he had and sell to his brother to get what he needed for a sacrifice. Now watch this. Cain, after years and years of sacrificing, decided at the time of sacrifice, he wasn't going to trade any of his food to his brother to get a lamb. He's just going to bring his corn or his wheat, his barley, give it to God. And if God didn't like it, too bad. Bible says that Abel brought his sacrifice and God had respect to it. Cain brought of the sacrifice of the ground. Watch this. And the Bible said that God did not have respect unto Cain. Whoa. How'd you like God to say, I don't respect you for that? Whew. That's pretty dangerous. That's living on an edge. God said, if thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God even came to Cain and said, Cain, there's sin that lieth at the door. That word sin means a sin sacrifice. He said, Cain, there is a lamb crouched at the door. It's ready to jump into your arms. I'll even provide the sacrifice for you if you just open the door and let it jump into your arms. Cain said, too bad, God, don't want it. If you don't like what I have, too bad. Listen to this. Sounds like people today. We want to worship God. We want to get saved our way. We want to live a good life. We want to get baptized to get saved. We want to get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost and flip on the floor and speak in an unknown tongue. If you don't do all those, you can lose it. We want to keep the sacraments. And we've had man-made religion. That's sacrifice of the ground. God said there's sin that lieth at the door. All you have to do is open the door. Matter of fact, Revelation says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Open that door and the Lamb of God will jump into your arms as your sacrifice, price already paid, and you don't even have to pay for it.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. God told Cain, I have no respect for your sacrifice. Cain didn't receive it well. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Cain's countenance fell. He got angry. Did you ever look at somebody and say, boy, they're awful angry? You can tell when somebody's upset by the look on their face. The countenance falls. They get that furrowed brow and they get, they scowl. It's like looking at Hillary. Anyway. Now, Cain didn't receive it well. Matter of fact, God said, Cain, why are you mad at me? Cain, you have no right to be mad at me. Not only did I tell you what to do, but I made obedience available, and you wouldn't even have to sell what you have. He said, I've provided it for you for free. All you have to do is receive it. And Cain said, I'm not going to do it, God. That's not word for word in the Bible, just so you know. That's Bush's version. But he said, God, if you don't like what I have, if you don't like what I'm doing, too bad. Says later, came process of time that he got so mad at Abel that he actually murdered his brother over this. We have the first murder in the Bible recorded. Now, listen to this very carefully. Why do we humans who sin, and everything that we do is tainted by sin, get upset at God when things don't go the way we want? I don't mean to be unkind. We all face those things. Why is it that we say, God, you're not fair. It's not right. He didn't sin. God told Cain what was expected of him because of what it represented. Now watch this. Because Cain chose to do it his way, God couldn't have respect for Cain. God could not. God wanted to respect Cain, and God made something available for Cain that would be respected by God, but Cain even refused that. Now watch this. Cain did not show respect to God. Therefore, God could not respect Cain. God was not angry. Cain was angry. God was not upset. Cain was upset.
Yes, sir.
People without respect have a fallen countenance. Mrs. Craig and I were working here a week or so ago, and she works with some unruly kids in our school system. I saw a picture of one. I said, "Boy, that one's pretty rough." She said, "Oh, preacher, if you only knew." It only took one look. I can see it in their face. Now, I'm not God. I can't read what's going on inside everybody's mind, but I've been around enough people. It doesn't take but that long for me to spot somebody's mad, angry, their countenance has fallen, many different things. I can see it real quickly. Now, look at the face of these rioters. They're angry. They don't even know what they're mad at. And please don't get mad when I say this. But just because you're mad at the election, what right does that give you to go break people's windows, bust everybody's property up? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Well, just because you're upset, you have the right to go to somebody's car lot, new car lot, and break every window on every vehicle in a car just because you didn't like the results of the election. Now, that makes a whole lot of sense. That's really making my statement, isn't it? Now, look at a teenager's face who doesn't respect authority, like their mom or their dad or their step-parent. Everybody doing all right?
Reach on.
It didn't take me that long to watch. America's young people ought to be glad I'm not their daddy. Because most of them would never sit down or have any hair left. Amen? Grab them by the hair. Who was it? Patton used to say, grab them in the nose and kick them in the pants. That'd be my philosophy. Amen? Now, listen to this. Respect. It's the one thing we all want, and the thing that we give the least of to most people. Many expected it to be given to them, but they do nothing to have it earned for themselves. We have a culture that gets upset of those who have earned it and deserve it because they want it for themselves. Occupy Wall Street. Not fair. Somebody has more money than I have. Well, get off your blessed assurance and go build a business, and you can have all you want.
Yes, sir. It's all it takes.
Sorry. You know, I'm not upset that you make more money than I. I chose my career. You chose yours.
Yes.
Just because, let's see here. Let's say, just because Brother Stoltz has a nicer truck than me. You see this old orange truck? Just because he's got a nicer truck than I have doesn't mean it's unfair. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now listen to me very carefully here. Respect goes both ways.
That's right.
Just because somebody has something you want that you don't have doesn't mean you disrespect them to get it. Just because you didn't get what you want from God doesn't mean God was unfair. Maybe it wasn't best for you. Well, I don't see how it could have been better, preacher. You don't have to see, God does.
Yes, right.
He sees the beginning before the end.
Yes, sir.
You don't know. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes and preach on respect. Number one, there is positional respect we should give everybody. There is positional respect we should give everybody. Boys and girls, teenagers, you owe it to your mom and dad, your stepmom, your stepdad, to give them respect.
Yes, sir.
They gave you life. They take care of your carcass. Guess what? You owe them respect. Whether you agree with them or not is not the issue. You've never parented. You have no idea how to raise a kid. You still are one.
Come on.
They deserve your respect. And by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I respect my mom and dad still, and I'm 49 years old. Do I agree with everything they do? Probably not. Do they agree with everything I do? Probably not. Right. But I still respect them.
Yes, sir.
I don't have to obey my mommy and my daddy. But I do honor them by respect. Everybody see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, I love my children. Do you know that not one of my three children have to obey me anymore? One better. She ain't married yet. Now, wait a minute. She doesn't have to. But she respects me enough to, and my wife, to have been following what we have asked of her in different areas of her life. I'm not controlling her life. I'm teaching her how to manage it till she is able to get married and be out on her own. That's all it is. I'm going to tell on myself. Her boyfriend. They're official now. Brandon. Right, Julian? He's a good young man. But the first time I met him, I didn't give him much thought, Brother Mike. I put him through the paces. Now, I wasn't unkind to him, but I just didn't walk up and hug him and say, "Oh, Brandon, how are you?" I still don't walk up and hug him. Say, "Why? I'm not going to." Wait a minute. It took him a while. I figured if I could chase him off, he wasn't man enough to date my daughter. Well, he endured the first couple barrages. I thought, well, let's step it up again here. So after a couple months, he had to ask me for permission to take my daughter to the Christmas banquet. So he calls me. He said, "Brother Bush, can I ask you some questions?" I said, "Sure." So he asked me about my background. He asked me about what I've done in the ministry. And I asked him a few questions about his background. And I said, "All right, bud." I said, "I got to get going here." He said, wait a minute. I said, "Okay." He said, "I got one more question." I said, "All right." I knew what he was going to ask before he called me. And then he asked me if he could take my daughter to the Christmas banquet. I said, "Well, tell you what. My wife and I decided a long time ago that we would think about it for 24 hours. I said, I'll call you back tomorrow." He had to wait 24 hours. I already knew he was going to call me. My wife and I had already talked about it. But I did go home and tell her Brandon called, wanted to take her to the banquet, asked her opinion again. She said, "Well, are you going to tell him?" I said, "Yeah, tomorrow." She said, "You're going to make him wait till tomorrow?" I said, "I am."
Yep.
So I called him the next day, told him it was good. They've obeyed us all along. They're now official boyfriend and girlfriend and dating, whatever all that stuff means. I have no idea. He's a boy, she's a girl, they're friends, and they're boyfriend, girlfriend. Amen? That's all I care about. Good Lord. He and I were talking the other day on the phone. And I said, "All right." I said, "Take care." He said, "Hold on, Brother Bush." I said, "What?" He said, he said, "Is it okay if I take Mindy to the Christmas banquet this year again?" I said, "Man, you guys are dating. You don't have to ask me." He said, "Well, I just wasn't sure." I said, "Good move." I said, "Yes, you may." He said, "Man, I don't have to wait 24 hours to find out." I said, "A whole lot easier this year, isn't it?" I said, "No." I said, "I'll tell you why. You've earned my respect." I said, "That year was for me to earn your respect and for you to earn my respect." I said, "By the way, was it worth the wait?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "All right. Wait a minute. I'm not being unkind. I want them both to have what they need. I want it to be in the right timing, the right way. By the way, I respect him that he asked me again this year. And he better ask me next year." No. Wait a minute. Good young man. We've learned each other. I've learned to respect him. He's learned to respect me. You say, why? Because if this progresses, he better respect my daughter. And I told him this summer, I said, "Son," I said, "if this thing falls apart between you and Mindy, you and I are still friends. I'll help you with whatever you need for the rest of your life. You're my friend." He said, "I believe you believe that." I said, "I know I do. Just check on me." I said, our friendship's not based on my daughter. It's based on you and I. I said, that's what you have to understand. Boy, did I teach him something that day. So there's positional. Do you know that you should respect your teachers? You should respect your Sunday school teacher. Well, I know more than my teacher knows. I doubt it. There's not a student I ever taught that ever knew more about the subject than I knew. Now, some of them were better at it than I was, but I knew more than they knew. You say, why? Because I had lived a lot longer than they had. You might think you know it all, but you don't. I'm going to make a statement here. Do you know that your boss, your supervisor, deserves respect? You may think you know more than they do, but guess what? You're not in their position. I didn't always agree with my boss. Guess what?
I did what he said.
Yes, sir.
When I worked in the machine shop, I didn't always agree with my boss. Guess what? I did what he said. Do you know that for the four different pastors I worked for, I didn't always agree with them. Expressed my disagreement in private the right way. They made a decision. I carried through whether I agreed with it or not.
Yes, sir.
Say why? That's what I'm supposed to do. Just because I disagree doesn't mean I'm disloyal. Now, I didn't go around telling everybody that, well, the preacher and I disagree in this area and I think he's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's not good. That's disloyal.
Yes, sir.
You never heard me say that in 23 years as an assistant pastor. I led huge ministries in ways I wouldn't have led them because I didn't agree, but nobody else knew that, not even my wife. Say why? I wasn't the one in charge. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. I'll go ahead and say it. We ought to respect the position of president and our elected officials. If the current president of the United States walked in to this room today, which he won't, but if he did, I would treat him with the respect he deserves.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Do I agree with him? No. There's very little I would agree with him on, but I would treat him with respect because that's what his position is for.
Yes, sir.
If the mayor walked in, I don't particularly care for the guy. But I would treat him with the respect he deserves. Everybody see where we're headed here? We need to get back to old-fashioned respect for folks. Do you know, there was a day when people had respect for the elderly?
Yes, sir. That's true.
You know, there was a day when men had respect for ladies?
Yes.
If you were on a bus or if you were in a room and there were no chairs and a woman came in, you got up and she sat down. If an older person came on a bus and there was no seats, you got up and they took your seat. If you had good enough legs to stand up, you stood up. By the way, I still do that. We ought to have respect for the handicap. Young, old, middle-aged, no matter what, have respect. That means don't park in the handicap spots if you're not handicapped.
Yes, sir.
I think they ought to handicap everybody that does.
Yes, sir.
Fix that stuff. My wife and I pulled up, I think we were going to Morgantown, pulled up at a rest stop there, and I thought I missed the handicap spot. I got out of my car, took about 5 or 6 steps, looked back, I'll be hanged, I was in the handicap spot. I said, go ahead, I got to move my car. She said, honey, we're the only people in the parking lot. I said, I'm not parking there, and I moved my car over one slot. I wasn't going to do it. I had respect. Now, she didn't, but I'm teasing. Wait a minute. I felt like it was the right thing to do. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be in America? Did you know we're supposed to respect leadership? We're supposed to have respect for people in public. This has done more damage to respect in America than anything I know. You know, I mean, these stupid things go off in funerals and weddings and church services. It's terrible. I never thought when I started in the ministry, number one, we didn't have cell phones. You never thought of a phone going off during a funeral or a wedding. People have no respect. People can't even sit in a public service without playing on their phone, being on Facebook or playing a game or emailing or texting somebody across the room. Turn the stupid thing off, stomp on it, get rid of it, whatever it is, but let's have respect. Did you ever sit in a restaurant, somebody sitting at a table by themselves, now they got those stupid things that fit in their ear, and you can't tell if they're talking to you or somebody else. Now, I'm not against those things because they're hands-free or whatever, and some of you probably have them, God bless you. But you say, preacher, well, you have an iPhone. Yes, I have an iPhone, and I probably don't use 10% of it like everybody else does. I have played no games on any phone ever in my life. I don't have Facebook, not going to, and I'm not planning on it. I don't watch movies and videos on my phone. I don't do any of that. You say, boy, what do you use your phone for? Calling and texting. That's it. That's all I need it for. Everything else can be done at other times. You mean you don't play? And I don't even know what the stupid games are. What? There's one candy. What do they call it? Candy. What was it? Crush. Is that what it is? I don't even know what it is. What's the other one with the stupid little fat feather? Something about birds. That's it. Yeah, I wouldn't even know what it was if I saw it. I really wouldn't. You say, preacher, you're really behind times. Don't you play? No, I work with it. I deal with enough angry birds. I don't need to play with angry birds. You know, there was a time when we respected each other. When I grew up, you had one phone in the house. It was right at the kitchen where you went into the kitchen. It had one of those little curly Q tail things that went all the way down, and you kept stretching it out because you tried to walk around the corner so nobody else could hear what you were saying. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we thought we were hot snot on a silver platter when we got a phone that didn't have a cord on it. You could walk around the house. You could hide in the closet and talk to somebody. I mean, that was big league stuff. Now, you'd be a cold booger on a paper plate. You ain't hot stuff no more. Wait a minute. Everybody heard what you were talking about. By the way, that's why my children didn't have a cell phone until they graduated from high school. They didn't need one. Well, Dad, what if we're somewhere and we need to call you? Every one of your friends has one. Borrow one. Every one of the people that you're with has one. Borrow one. I remember sticking a quarter in your shoe so that no matter where you went, you could at least make a phone call. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Back in the generations before me, that's what penny loafers were for. You kept a penny or a nickel in your shoe as decoration. That way, if you needed to, you could make a phone call. That's what the penny loafer was for. Most of you didn't even know that. You got a history lesson about fashion, didn't you? I'm not kidding, though. The gray heads know what I'm talking about. Or slick heads. Anyway. Did you know that we're supposed to stand for the national anthem?
Yes, sir.
And not use it as a protest?
That's right.
Oh, about 8-10 years ago, I went to a professional ball game, and a couple guys right in front of us didn't stand up, Brother Mike. I leaned over. I slapped the guy in the shoulder. I said, either you stand up or I'm going to jerk you up. He was already tanked. He said, "What?" I said, stand up or I'm going to jerk you up. Well, he and his buddies both got up then. Say, why'd you do that? Because of respect for my country. Don't like it, leave it. Men, did you know you're supposed to take your hat off when you go in a building, especially church? I'm not mad at anybody. Sometimes we'll have some teenagers come in, some of these boys, and they wear their hat. I'll walk over and I say, hey, Doc, can you take your hat off for church? Oh, man, preacher, I'll have hat head. I said, I'd rather have your hat head. I said, you're not supposed to wear it inside anyway. Oh, I said, nobody's ever taught you that. I'm not mad. I'm just going to teach you. Do you know it's respect to take your hat off? That's the way it's supposed to be. It's respect. You know, we need to have respect for God and His Word. We're not supposed to kick him out of our government and our public schools. There is little to no respect for God in our country anymore. Oh, it's supposed to be Christmas, not Xmas.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's faster to write Xmas. No, you're getting rid of Christ. That's what the world has numbed us to where it's acceptable. It's not acceptable. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that we're not supposed to rewrite his book and call it God's book? That's why all the other versions are wrong. It's disrespecting God. And by the way, calling Allah and Buddha and Muhammad and others God is a disrespect to God. Well, he's the same God, just has different names. No, it's not. No, it's not. I got to hurry. Number two. Respect is a two-way street, but the follower may not always understand the leader. Do you know, I believe in leaders respecting followers as much as I believe in followers respecting leaders. Do you know, I believe in parents respecting children as well as children respecting parents. I made my children answer my wife and I, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, from the time they could utter the words out of their mouth.
Yes, sir.
But you check with my wife and anybody that knew me as my children were growing up, if one of my children said something to me, I would say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, no, sir, or no, ma'am, to my own children. I treated them with the respect I expected back. One of my boys one day said, yeah. I said, you what? I said, I don't know where you heard it, but you better get it out from between your ears real quick. It's yes, sir. I said, because if I hear yeah again, I said, I'm going to slap you upside that head. I said, I'll knock it right out of you. It's yes, sir. Don't you ever answer your mother that way either, son. Man, I tore it. I don't even remember which one. Doesn't matter. Do you know, to this day, they'll call, we talk on the phone, it's yes or no, sir, both directions?
Yes, sir.
I believe in that. My dad's 147 years old. My dad's 77 years, 76, going to be 77. I still answer him, yes, sir, no, sir. Do you know, my dad does the same thing to me?
Yes, sir.
Say, what is it? Mutual respect. Now, just because I want something doesn't mean if I didn't get it, my dad didn't disrespect me. Getting everything you want has nothing to do with respect. How you treat people is respect. Everybody doing okay? It's not respect for the worker to demand more pay because the boss makes too much money. Did you hear that? I remember one of my jobs. Brother Bob, you'll love this. One of my first jobs, my dad said, you sure you're going to work for that? I said, yes, sir. He said, I don't ever want to hear you complain about your paycheck. He said, if you complain about your paycheck, you're the dummy that accepted it. Don't you blame your boss.
That's right.
I remember thinking, man, I got a buddy that's working down the road and he's getting 15 cents an hour more. I said, man, that's not fair. My boss could, and my dad jumped on me. He tore into me. He said, son, he said, then go work for the other guy, but give you 2 week notice because you're the dummy that decided you'd work for that much money. Don't you complain to me. You want more money? Work harder or go get a different job. You know, I never did complain. If I signed a contract saying this is what I'm going to work for, I never did complain, never asked for a raise, not one time. Say why? My dad would come and slap me upside the head. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I respected my boss enough. I learned a long time ago, the harder you work, the more money your boss makes. The more money your boss makes, the more money he has to give you for what your work is. And if you don't complain about it and demand it, you're more apt to get it. Isn't that amazing how that works? You know, leaders need to have a little mystique or distance between them and their followers. I don't think, okay, I'm going to use this illustration in a minute. I better be careful. Do you know what the root word of casualty is? Casual.
casual Friday in the workplace has done a lot to destroy the respect for the workplace. Having kids go to school dressed in their pajamas for dress-up week is vile.
Very vile.
Everybody doing all right? I don't believe in letting kids go to school dressed in their PJs. PJs are for bed, not for school. Everybody doing all right? And we wonder why our teenagers are sleeping around with each other.
Okay, let's save that for another time. One great preacher said it this way: leaders have feet of clay, but they shouldn't take their shoes and socks off and show everybody.
Yes, sir.
Ronald Reagan had respect for the Oval Office. You never saw him in the Oval Office without a coat and tie, ever. Do you know he didn't like working with a coat and tie? But he had respect for the office. And you never saw him jogging in his shorts. Wonder why one was sleeping with secretaries in the Oval Office and the other was one of the greatest presidents in history.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Clinton?
Respect.
He didn't have respect. Mr. Clinton was the first president to not allow men in military uniform in the Oval Office. They had to come in civilian clothes. Many of your federal places, federal courts and things, won't even allow police officers in their uniform because it could sway the jury. So they now have to go in civilian clothing. That all started back in the 90s under Mr. Clinton. We wonder why we have the casualty of America today. Casualness. Everybody doing all right? Leaders have to have respect. By the way, you can stop by my house. I don't live in a fancy house, but you're not just going to walk in anytime you want either. I think there ought to be a little distance there. Everybody doing all right? I was a mean daddy. You already know that.
I never let my kids come to the supper table or the table and nothing but a t-shirt and their jeans on or whatever. They had to have a shirt on. My boys would get mad at me. Dad, just because I go put one on, it's got a different color. I don't care. It's not an undershirt. You're not sitting at the table in your underwear. I just didn't allow it. Say why? Because they ought to have respect for the rest of the family, not to sit there in their underwear. By the way, a white t-shirt's called an undershirt. It's underwear. You buy it in the underwear section, amen? Teaching you something important here.
Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't have to be your rule. That was my rule. But you're going to respect me at my table that way. That's what I taught my children. Whether they do it in their own home, that's up to them. But they did do it in my home. Everybody doing all right? What if your kids don't do it? That's their problem, not mine. I did my job. It's up to them for their job. Leaders have to have respect for followers enough to keep the distance. Do you know that if I walked into,
if I walked into Brother Mike's office, I'm not going to walk in and sit behind his desk in his chair. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to sit down until he tells me to sit down. That's called respect. If I were invited to the White House, to the Oval Office, I wouldn't be seated until the president told me to be seated. And I'm dead sure not going to stand behind his desk. That's his, not mine. I've not earned the right to be behind that desk. That's his. As my children were growing up, they would come to my office. But unless I asked them to come sit behind my desk with me, they weren't to be behind my desk. I came in one day. One of my kids was sitting in my chair. I said, "Yeah, get out of there." Man, they looked at me. I said, "Don't you ever go behind my desk without me telling you to." "But Dad, I don't care what you did or what you didn't do. You're not doing it. That's not yours. That's mine." Cured that one in a hurry. We had moved to Indiana And my son went to the principal's office the first week of school. I won't tell you which one it was. I won't say his name. But he was the only one old enough to be in school at the time. First week of school, he got sent to the principal's office to get spanked. He's sitting in the chair just swinging his feet. Principal looked at him and he said, "Son, do you know where you're at?" Mr. Sisson, in all his wisdom. My son looked at him and said, "Yes, sir, I'm in the principal's office, but my daddy was my principal and I've been in his office lots of times." I said, "Mr. Sisson, what did you say?" He said, "Took every bit of strength I had not to laugh." He said, "I got up, I slammed my hands on my desk, I leaned over and said, 'But I'm not your daddy.'" I said, "What did he say?" He said, "He went, 'Oh.'" I said, "That's what he ought to say." Now, wait a minute. He learned a new respect for the office, amen? He had a meeting with the Board of Education. It was applied to the seat of knowledge, and he learned a little. He had had many of those meetings. Now, wait a minute. We're to have a little distance. I don't go hunting in a suit. But most of you aren't going to see me in my hunting clothes. I don't go cutting wood in my suit and tie. Tell you why. Because the blood, when the things fall on my head, it just messes them up so bad. But wait a minute. I believe in propriety. But you're not going to see me running around in shorts and torn up britches and my sleeves rolled all the way up and my gut hanging out and no shirt on. Say why? That's not respectful. Did you ever go down the road seeing these 60-year-old guys with their pot belly hanging out, no shirt on, pair of shorts? You're thinking, man, that's mental pollution. Cover that thing up. Leaders should respect followers and give them praise and compensation for a job well done. Do you know that? As you train your children, you teach them respect by giving them responsibility, not toys.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you can have, and I realize the smaller they are, they got to have a little more positive incentive. But once they reach a little bit older, you give them more responsibility. And the more responsibility they get, they're learning about life. Did you know if Brother Mike, you do a good job this week, your boss isn't going to give you a new toy? Brother Jimbo, if you do what your wife says, she's not going to give you a toy. And she might not hit you with the frying pan, but she's not going to give you a toy.
She's going to hit him. Either way, she's going to hit him. Can I tell you something? We've trained a generation that needs entertained and bribed instead of doing what they're supposed to do. That's why the law students need to play with bubbles and Play-Doh. These drunken college parties and spring break on college campuses, they ought to expel every one of the students that participates that way. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. No 18, 19, or 20-year-old ought to be allowed to be drunk in a college dorm because it's a college thing to do. They're not even legally able to drink. They ought to be expelled from school and prosecuted. And the people who gave it to them ought to be in jail.
Yes.
And the administration allowing it to happen ought to be in jail. That's just my opinion. Number three, and I'll finish quickly. We need respect for those with whom we disagree by not making it personal. We won't take time to turn there, but Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 through 48 talk about love those that are your enemies. Those that despitefully use and persecute you. Do good to them. Say, what is that respect? Do you know I respect people that are my enemy? Do you know I respect people that don't agree with me? I hate the vile Islamic doctrine. But I don't hate Islamists. By the way, a peaceful religion doesn't say kill the infidel that disagrees with Islam.
Yep, that's right.
The Quran doesn't say if you disagree with Allah, that you should live. They say go out and kill them. It's called jihad. Everybody doing okay? Christians who hate people with whom they disagree and hold grudges and bitterness aren't respecting them or God. Loving an enemy doesn't mean you agree with them. It means you respect them as a human being.
Less than a week ago, or right out a week ago, my wife and I ran into three of my enemies in a period of about 2 hours. You know, Brother Stoltz, the first one I walked up to, shook his hand, stood there and talked to him for about 5 minutes. Had a friendly conversation. There were people in this church that saw it took place, and you'd never know that it was an enemy. You'd have thought we were long-lost friends. Wife and I were walking into a restaurant, and somebody had probably done to sling more mud my way than most anybody was there. I treated him with kindness and respect. Now, I didn't invite him to my house for coffee afterwards either. But I treated him with respect. About a little while ago, won't tell you when, got word of another person that hasn't been favorable my direction for a while. Was around, and somebody in our church knows them. And I said, do me a favor, tell them I love them and I'm praying for them. Love to see them sometime. I don't hold a grudge. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. Doesn't mean I'm going to go have a meal with them. But I could be kind and cordial to them.
I may not like the current chief administrator of our country. But it doesn't mean I'm going to pray for God to kill him. I'm not God. Who am I to decide whether they live or die? My Bible says love them. You know, we have to have respect for leaders and their family, even when we disagree. Doesn't mean we need to act like them either.
Christmas is coming. Be careful. Some of you have family that's lost. They're not going to understand that now that you're saved, that you're not going to act like you used to before you got saved. You don't have to get up if they break out the booze and say, you bunch of reprobates. You ought not be, and stand there and preach a sermon to them. I don't think that's right. You can just kindly say, not me. And my wife and I, we had situations like that, and I'd say, as soon as this happens, we're leaving. We're just going to kindly slide out. Well, they might say something. I'd rather them say something than me cause friction. If they asked me why one-on-one, I would tell them. We were with her family years ago, and they were having some kind of party, and I said, as soon as the booze breaks out, we're leaving. It wasn't her mom and dad. It was extended family. And sure enough, say, what'd you do? We just looked at each other and said, we got to go. See y'all later. One of her uncles came up to me later and said, how come you guys took off? Was it because we brought the beer out? I said, mm-hmm. He said, well, if you'd have just told us, I said, wasn't my party. I said, I respect you enough. I'm not going to tell you how to lead it.
That's right.
She was just talking to that uncle yesterday on the phone. He loves me, loves my kids, like nobody else's business. Do we agree with each other? No, not in every area.
You don't have to make a... By the way, same thing at your work parties. I've been to enough of those shop work parties. Trust me, I know what goes on. We had to go to one every year. I told the boss, the man, the president of the company, I said, as soon as the liquor comes out, we're leaving. I said, I can't, by the rules of the college even, and on top of that, I'm a Christian and won't be around this. Every year, he'd walk up and say, okay, guys, you Baptists, we're getting ready to start drinking. Time for you all to go. He would dismiss us, and then they'd do the rest of their party. He had enough respect for us, though, to let us know what was coming.
Praise the Lord.
Now, may not have had enough respect not to have it at all, but didn't matter. Just quietly do it. I'm done. Hebrews 11:26 talks about that we ought to have respect for what is to come. And tell you something, if you die without Christ, you don't respect God. You respect yourself. God, I can get to heaven my way, and if you don't like it my way, too bad. You're disrespecting God. For somebody to die and go to hell, they disrespect God. It's a disrespect to God. For you to say, well, I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I know enough. You're disrespecting God. I don't know about you. I need God. And I want to respect God. By the way, the more I do what God says, the more of His respect I earn. And the more I respect Him. And the more I do, the more I respect, the more I respect, the more He respects, the more He respects. I thought I hit my water off there. It wasn't even up there. That's why it scared me. And it's amazing. The more you respect, the more God gives. And the more respect God gives you, the more you give Him back. And that's how you build a relationship with God. I love my wife and I respect my wife enough to where I've built safeguards in my life to where I'm not going to ruin my marriage. I respect her that way. I respect you enough that where I'll be kind and things, but you're not going to come over to my house and have a key to my house and just come on over anytime you want. Just like I won't take the key to your house. Come over anytime I want. Say, why, preacher? Because I respect you enough. Isn't that what it's all about? Cain, why is thy countenance fallen? Why art thou wrath? Because I don't have respect for you, God. He said, son, listen, I don't respect you because you're not obeying me. I don't respect your sacrifice. I've got a free one there, so all you got to do is open the door and you can obey me. No, God, if you don't like it, too bad. Whew. What a terrible way to live, isn't it? We need a good dose of respect in America, in our homes, in our churches, and for God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know for sure that if I die, I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere tucked inside that sermon is something I personally needed today. Maybe it's between me and God or with people or whatever it is. Doesn't matter what area of life, but there's something inside that today, preacher, I needed. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Man, hands all over the place.